Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
When the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem to publicly proclaim his right and title to kingship, the multitude shouted the hosannas. This so enraged the religious rulers that they attempted to silence the voices of praise, and failing, they demanded of the Lord that he rebuke and silence them. And he, with biting satire, answered them wryly, saying, "If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." With bitter irony, he sent them back to the ABCs written in the walls of Jerusalem, for those very stones and walls were proclaiming the gospel message, and the gates were fairly shouting, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Those stones had been giving a message for centuries. They were speaking in that day, and they are speaking today. They have a message for us, for you and I are building walls, spiritual walls, if you please, with the same gates and having the same message. Today God has given us a subcontract that you and I might build these walls of Jerusalem in our own hearts and lives. So stay tuned for a good broadcast today taken from Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1, talking about putting God first and Nehemiah's overseeing the building of the sheep gate. So don't miss it. We'll be enjoying our time together today.
Building up the temple, 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 building up
the temple,
building up
the temple,
building up
the temple,
the temple of the Lord.
Say, brother, won't you help me?
You help me,
sister, won't you help me?
You help me building up the temple of the Lord. I'm singing, building up
the temple,
the temple, building up
the temple,
the temple, building up
the temple,
the temple of the Lord.
Say, brother, won't you help?
You help me, sister, won't you help?
You
help me building up the temple of the Lord.
Well, the Ambassadors did a great job on that song, didn't they? Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity to build up the temple of the Lord. You give us the means, you give us the equipment, you supply everything because you are our creator. You've given us our skills, you've given us all of our materials that we possess, and we just thank you and praise you for it. I pray that each of us who are listening to the broadcast today will be especially mindful of our need to do everything that you want us to do, to put God first, and that is the way to truly build up the temple. Make this broadcast a blessing to each of our listeners today. Meet with us throughout this Lord's Day. May it be a great day of worship wherever we may be found in the opportunity to gather to church and to worship the Lord and to learn from your word. Make it a blessed day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
From the dust of the earth, God created man. His breath made man a living soul. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And that is why I love him so. Likeness created in his image, for I was born to serve the Lord, and I won't deny him. I'll always walk beside him.
Thank you to the Steve Cassidy family for that great song, Born to Serve the Lord. That is indeed why we have been born, and I trust that you are putting God first. Well, this is Missionary Echoes, brought to you by the God's Missionary Church, located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. We are soon going to be beginning our Sunday school hour at 9:30, our morning worship service at 10:30. I will be speaking in the morning service and then the evening worship service at 6 o'clock. Pastor Joel Sickler will be ministering in the service tonight. Wednesday night, we have a special service with Allegheny Wesleyan College, a group called Rejoice, made up of a ladies trio and a pianist, and they are going to be sharing music and testimony in our service this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then beginning next Sunday, after our morning Sunday school and worship time, in the afternoon begins Ono Camp Meeting over on Camp Meeting Road in Ono. The Lebanon Valley Gospel Band will be in ministry first at 2:30 in the afternoon next Sunday, July the 9th. And then the evening service will begin at 6:30 with Dan and Michelle Durkee serving as evangelists and singers. We are looking forward to a great Ono camp meeting located at 200 Camp Meeting Road in the little village of Ono, Pennsylvania. You are invited to come and be a part of that. Well, again, we're glad to have you joining us here on Missionary Echo. Stay tuned as we enjoy the remainder of the broadcast today.
The faith on which you stand is just as strong as its foundation. If it's on the rock, the winds of life won't blow it down. But if it's built upon the sand, when the storm comes, you'll be shaken. You'll be looking for a place to stand on solid ground. But if you build your faith before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking, build your faith before the storm gets out of control. If you build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul.
Who trust in Him, God gives the calm assurance that whatever comes, His love will always stay secure. So if your hope is getting dim, remember He provides endurance to take you safely through each storm and keep your footing sure. So if you build your faith before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking, build your faith before the storm gets out of control. If you build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Faith before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking, build your faith before the storm gets out of control. Build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Lord, and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord, and you'll have peace in your soul.
Well, that is great advice from the Pensacola Singers. From Nehemiah chapter 3 in verse 1, we read, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, and they sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananeel." Israel had been freed from Babylonians' captivity. Under Zerubbabel and Ezra, they had rebuilt the temple. One of the major problems remaining was that the city of Jerusalem was still an easy victim, for there were no walls to protect around it. A miracle had taken place, however, within the ruins of Jerusalem, God's city. A man named Nehemiah had arrived from a far country to build again the walls of Jerusalem, and once again it had become possible to expect great things for the Jewish people. Long, weary years had passed since their days of glory, and evil enemies mocked the men and women who still talked of the greatness of Israel's history. Then, just when it seemed that God had forgotten to be gracious, the strange man, Nehemiah, miraculously arrived from Babylon. He possessed letters of authority from the king of Babylon, building permits, if you please. He had access to supplies of timber. He indeed was a godsend. At the meeting with the elders, Nehemiah revealed his plans for the rebuilding of the walls, and everyone was asked to help. So first we run into the great temptation. As each man moved toward his appointed portion of the wall, the high priest stood absorbed in his thoughts. He realized that many enemies would be ready to hinder the great work, and through every gap in the defenses of the city, the people would come after dark to break down the repairs and to steal from homes near their point of entry. All around, the Israelites were repairing their own defenses, and it was perfectly understandable why they eagerly built those parts of the wall nearest to their own homes. The high priest probably sympathized with them, and yet resisted the inclination to follow their example. It was true that his own home was very much exposed to enemy attack, and that should they invade the city, it would be one of the first places destroyed, most likely. The question probably hounded him. Should I not hasten to erect that portion of the wall which bordered to my home? The wise old man probably shook his head and turned his face toward the temple. His duty was first to God. Then Eliashib, as we read, the high priest, rose up with his brethren the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Mia, and they sanctified it under the tower of Hananiel. The great temptation was denied. Hallelujah. Secondly, we see the great triumph. The grand old priest realized that if he sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things would be added unto him. That was not penned yet in the New Testament, but he was practicing it, wasn't he? The sheep gate probably had close connections with that part of the sacred house where the offerings were found, and its completion would materially hasten the day when temple life could be restored to normal. There would be no hope of permanent peace and prosperity for the city until God had been enthroned in his rightful place. No doubt the conscience of the priest would have been smitten if he had first sought his own interest. He therefore attended to that part of the wall intimately connected with the spiritual life of the people. It was a notable thing to do, and in the estimation of the watching people, his soiled hands enhanced his dignity, and his determination to guard the work increased their admiration. Because of the danger of enemy action, with one of his hands he continued working, while with the other hand he held his weapon. He was far more concerned with the erection of God's kingdom than with the safeguarding of his own property. Selfishness was non-existent in his soul. What a beautiful thing to observe from this great distance now, today, in 2023. Some are not living triumphantly, for perhaps you've fallen to the temptation of putting God on the back burner. Instead of keeping him first, you are trying to build your own kingdom and chase your own fancy dreams, but God has been relegated to another day, second place instead of first place. Let me just remind you that you will never triumph as Nehemiah did. Thirdly, let's notice the great testimony. So the work proceeded, with every man striving to complete his portion of the wall. No doubt the temptation often returned for Eliashib to think of his own portion, but instantly he was able to dismiss any regret that he could not attend to his own private building. He was very wise, for God knows how to take care of those who are loyal to him. It is very important that we keep our priorities straight. God must be first and foremost. Not only do we need his blessing on our own personal lives, but I want to tell you, our nation desperately needs God's blessing. We cannot exist without him. Because of our nation's sins, America is at risk with God. And in Proverbs 14:34, we read, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And thus, I would note that Tony Perkins of Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., responded to the call of God to launch Call to Fall a number of years ago to provide pastors an opportunity to lead their congregations in repentant prayer for our nation, united with thousands of congregations across America. Listen, my friend, God is America's only hope, and it is simply right for us to do this before we would celebrate Independence Day each year. And this we shall do as God enables us. We must labor in prayer on the walls of our nation, This third chapter of Nehemiah supplies the record of all who labored on the wall, but a most significant detail demands our consideration. As we jump on down to verse number 20 of Nehemiah chapter 3, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabbai, earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashib the high priest. Look at that. God was looking out for the high priest after he made the city his priority and obeying God his priority. The word earnestly in this verse stands out above all other words, for it is only used once in describing the labors of the builders. The man Baruch was a master workman who put his utmost skill into his job. He was able to build Eliashib's portion far more skillfully than the priest could ever have done the work. His part of the wall may have been done last, but it was probably done the best. This was God's answer to the leader's sacrificial example. God knows how to pay his workmen, and no one ever suffers loss through putting him first. Yes, God is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him first, as we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We cannot get slack in building God's kingdom. If we fail to fortify our walls in good Christian unity, the enemy will be freed to slip in and destroy us. So let us be valiant soldiers and builders. We've learned about that this week in Vacation Bible School. Not only for your own selfish interests, but for God. Put God first. It always pays. Yes, America is in a time of great distress. Our sins have found us out. There is a faithful remnant. But as a nation, we have turned our backs on God. We have ignored the eternal moral laws of our Maker, the giver of life, and the author of our liberties. Moreover, we have collectively engaged in grave acts of sinful defiance against him. And if we do not return to him, we will surely perish. God mercifully gave Solomon a roadmap for returning to him in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Hopefully a familiar verse to you today. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. This verse has become overly familiar to many, but its power has not been diminished. Oh, friend, as we have observed the call to fall declaration, it reminds believers to respond seriously and wholeheartedly. I will answer God's call to fall on my knees in humility and seek his face in repentance so that he might forgive our sins and heal our land. Only our Lord Jesus Christ can save America. Neither is there salvation in any other, we read in Acts 4:12. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our future depends upon God's mercy and his people responding to this wonderful but conditional promise to heal us. That is where our future depends. Oh, let's respond to it, dear heart. And so I trust that you will take time for personal reflection, for repentance, and for prayer for our nation. Invite those physically able as much as possible to spend at least 5 minutes on their knees, if possible, in an act of humility. And, oh, I believe there will be many more thousands who will pray on bended knee wherever they are, acknowledging our nation's dependence upon God, before we rush to fire up the grill and break out the fireworks to celebrate Independence Day this year. Founding Father John Adams, writing to his wife Abigail about their momentous vote for independence, declared, "I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations, from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore." What great words from the letters of John Adams. What might God do if his people take his call to fall seriously each and every day? not just as we approach July the 4th, but each and every day of our lives. Ah, friend, I can't emphasize the importance of spending time in prayer, repentance for our nation before God, begging for God's mercy, thanking Him for the progress of Roe versus Wade, thanking Him for the many lives that have been spared from being aborted, and thanking Him for the many good things that have happened in our nation, and trusting Him for the vile and wicked things that are occurring even today in our nation, gaining approval from wicked people in high authority as well as many followers. Many have resisted the great temptation to put self ahead of God. Today, there is a collective sacrificial effort to fortify the walls of our nation through prayer. Let's join them, shall we? Through such a priority, many have experienced great triumphs, and in the end, many have had a great testimony to share of how God has come through with blessing after blessing in their lives and throughout our nation. Oh God, save America. Spare us from the evils of our day. Spare us from the wrath of God against our nation for the wickedness that is in so many places and in the high places and in the low places and places in between in our nation. Lord, may we be great again in your sight as a God-fearing people, a God-serving nation, a God-loving nation, and a God-loving people. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, for your mercy that's been extended to us time and time again. We pray that you will bless these thoughts, this broadcast, all of our efforts to your glory and honor and to the benefit of each of our hearers today. We're trusting you to meet with us in our services throughout the day, the Sunday school hour here at 9:30, the morning worship at 10:30, and the evening worship at 6 o'clock. And we'll be so grateful and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us on Missionary Echoes today. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Missionary Echoes.
Our Father, which art in
into temptation, but deliver us from